Well, hello. Thanks for joining us online. My name is Anthony Cloran, the pastor here at Fork Union Baptist Church, and I want to apologize. First of all, this week we had some technical difficulties with our live feed, and for whatever reason, we weren't able to record and even the podcast this week. So I'm going to go back through my message notes and outline, and just kind of do it more of a study since I, you know, I have no crowd to preach it to again. Anyways, I hope this helps you out. We've been going through, we just started a study through the book of 1 Thessalonians, and so we've been looking at the model church. They were the model church, and we've got several weeks ahead of us still to talk about that, so we're going to jump right into it today. 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, verses 5 through 10 is what we're going to be looking at. The title of the message on Sunday, but that you're going to be hearing right now, is the model church, and then it says, and then just off to the side of that, a strong conversion. So the week before last, we saw in our first verses 1 through 4, and the first couple verses of this epistle, that the church in Thessalonica was a strong church. All right, they were the model church. That's what Paul called them, and we even talked about how to be a strong church, we need to be just like the church in Thessalonica. They gave us that great mold or that model to follow. They had strong ministers who were faithful to the church. They were a church that the people were involved. It was a church of the people. They were a church that was built on the solid rock. They had a very firm foundation. They didn't go to the left or the right. They stayed right on the rock, on the foundation of God and His God the Father and His Son, Jesus Christ. Everything they did was done in God's grace and in His peace. They realized that everything they did, every ministry they had, only reason they could be doing the things that they were doing and why they were doing what they were doing was because of God's grace and His peace. And you can see all that if you go back and read verse 1 through 4. They were also a church who stirred prayer. Paul said that every time he thought of them, that it made him thank God. And that's how our church should be. We should be, man, every time somebody looks at Fork Union Baptist Church, or maybe any other church that you're a member of, or somebody here has been to, or that we ever go to, we should when we think about it, it should be alive and so active and so loving and so full of God's grace and peace that we just say, Lord, thank you for what you're doing there. Also, we saw this. They were a church that was known for working and serving. They were doing loving deeds all the time. And then lastly, but not least, they were a church that was obviously called by God. So when somebody saw what the work and the things that were going on there, it was obvious that God was at work and had called them and had a purpose for them. So that was just a recap of where we find ourselves starting today. So today we're going to continue looking at this model church, and we're going to see that a model church, it has to have a strong conversion. All right. So what do I mean by this? Paul is going to tell the church in Thessalonica that a great conversion actually is what caused the word of God to spread all over the world. So every believer should have a conversion story, should have a testimony of what God's grace and His peace and what Jesus Christ, when they accepted Him as Lord and Savior, did in their life. So this is the three main things that we're going to look at today. Number one is this. They had strong ministers who preached the gospel as it should be preached. And on the flip side of that, the people actually received the gospel. Even though they were being persecuted, despite the persecution they were dealing with, they received the gospel. So that's the first thing we're going to look at. Number two, the second thing we're going to pull out of this text is this. They became a great testimony for God and for the good news of Jesus Christ. Number three, we're going to see this, last but not least, that they were a church who understood what repentance was. So I'm not going to read the whole text. We're just going to read it as we go through it. But let's pray before we always, like I always like to do, not just out of tradition, but I just want to, we just need to set our hearts right before we hear the word of God and the message that, that He's laid on my heart. So let's pray. Father, we love you today, and we just thank you. I thank you for another opportunity to go through this passage, Lord, because maybe it's just me that needed to hear it again, or maybe there's somebody online that needed to hear it in a different way. And so, Lord, we just thank you for the technology that we have. And I thank you for all those workers who work so hard at Fork Union Baptist Church and other churches to make our online ministries happen. And so, Lord, we just continue to pray that you would bless it, but you would bless your word today, and that we would allow you to work in our life. In Jesus' name, amen. So before we go through these few verses, I have to ask you this, and this is what I've asked everybody on Sunday. Do you have a testimony? Wherever you are, whoever's listening to this today, do you have a testimony of your conversion? Do you have a time when you know that you truly received the gospel? That moment when you first believe and gave your life to follow Jesus Christ. Do you have that moment? Doesn't mean you got to remember the exact date and time or anything, but do you have a testimony? That moment where you first believe and you know that you were forgiven and you accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. Everyone's story and their testimony is going to be different, right? You may be somebody who grew up in the church, you were baptized in the second grade, and you gave your life to Jesus and you followed him all the way. Either way, you have a story of what that looks like and that testimony of you following Jesus for all these years and the ups and the downs and maybe the times that you fell short and he was always there to pick you back up. Or maybe you struggled on the flip side of that with severe addiction with some kind of physical or drug or alcohol addiction, and God delivered you from that, or maybe an abusive relationship or whatever it could be. But every believer should have a testimony of what God did in their life through Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. You see, the church in Thessalonica was a church of the people. We talked about that. And these people were excited to share what Jesus did for them. This is just another reason that Paul encouraged them and called them the model church. So let's go through these verses and we're going to see what a strong conversion looks like. So the first thing we're going to do is we're going to read 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, verses 5 and 6. I hope you have your Bibles with you if you can read with me. And I'm reading from the New Living Translation. It says this, starting in verse 5. For when we brought you the good news, it was not only with words, but also with power. For the Holy Spirit gave you full assurance that what we said was true. And you know of our concern for you from the way we lived when we were with you. So you received the message with joy from the Holy Spirit in spite of the severe suffering it brought you. In this way, you imitated both us and the Lord. All right, here's the first thing, the first of the three points, I guess, that we're going to talk about today that come right out of here. And this is the main thing that I want to focus on in this chunk of Scripture. Number one is this: the model church will have ministers who preach the gospel as it should be preached. Okay, now I know earlier, if you listened in to the first sermon in our study of 1 Thessalonians, we know that Paul, Silas, and Timothy were all faithful to minister to this church. So I won't spend a lot of time on that point, but I do have two important things that I want to point out about these two verses that we just read. Number one is this: Paul kept it simple. I'm talking about preaching the gospel as it should be preached. He kept it simple. When Paul stood before the people to share the word of God everywhere he went, he kept it simple. He wasn't trying to impress the people with a seminary degree and a doctorate of divinity. No, there's nothing wrong with having an education. There's wrong with having a doctorate degree, or there's nothing wrong with going to Bible college or anything like that. In fact, Paul had all that because he was a very prestigious man in the religious world before Christ. But he was only concerned with sharing the word of God and the gospel of Jesus Christ. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 1 and 2 says this: When I came to you, this is Paul writing, talking to the church in Corinth, of course. He says, When I first came to you, dear brothers and sisters, I didn't use lofty words and impressive wisdom to tell you God's secret plan. For I decided that while I was with you, I would forget everything except Jesus Christ, the one who was crucified. Paul kept it simple. The second thing in these two verses that I want to point out, when you're talking about preaching the gospel as it should be preached, is this: Paul relied on the Holy Spirit. Paul understood that he was simply an instrument for God to use. I use the illustration on Sunday. We didn't have our whole worship band there, and the drums were just sitting there, right? And so those drums are just an instrument. They're empty without the skilled person that can do the work of playing those drums. I know that's a simple illustration. They're just an instrument. And that's the way I think Paul looked at himself. That's the way that each one of us should look at ourselves. We're an instrument for the Holy Spirit to work through us. My job as the pastor, and I talked about this on last Sunday, is not to convert people. Okay? My job is not to change people's hearts. My job is not to save people. No, my job as a pastor is to preach the word of God. But it's also to practice what I preach. They go hand in hand. But that's what really my job is to do, is to study the Word and to be prepared to teach the Word and to keep it simple. And I'm to rely on the power of the Holy Spirit, just like Paul did, to work through me and my ministry, but also to work in each of your lives and to work into your life right now as you're hearing the Word. I can't make you receive it. I can't make you accept it. But I can say, God, before I preach this message and as I'm preparing this message, I can say, Lord, would you please use this? Use this. You know who needs to hear this, right? Philippians chapter 2, verse 12 and 13 says this. This is Paul, again, writing. He says, dear friends, you always followed my instructions when I was with you. And now that I am away, it is even more important. Work hard to show the results of your salvation. So I always want to point out, he says, work hard to show the results of your salvation, not to earn your salvation, okay? It's basically saying, work hard so people see the fruit in your life of what Jesus is doing. And he goes on to say this, obeying God with deep reverence and fear. Verse 13, he says, for God is working in you. Doesn't say you have to do all this to work. He says, no, God is working in you. And he goes on to say, giving you the desire and the power to do what pleases him. You see, ministers are to preach the gospel. No man-made ideas are to be added or taken away. We are to keep it simple, like John 3:16 simple. God so loved the world that he gave his one and only son that whoever should believe in him will not perish but have eternal life. That's simple, just to preach the gospel. And the people and the church are to receive it. Despite oppositions or persecution, we are to simply receive the good news of Jesus Christ, and then we're to actually follow him. When we do these two simple things, the church will bear fruit just like the church in Thessalonica. I believe that with all my heart. People all over the place will be talking about what God is doing here at Fork Union Baptist Church if we would just preach and receive the gospel as it's to be preached and also as it's to be received. And this leads right into the second point. Look with me at verse 7-8 if you have your Bible with you, but we're going to continue. 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, verse 7 and 8 says this. As a result, you have become an example to all believers in Greece throughout both Macedonia and Achaia. And now the word of the Lord is ringing out from you to people everywhere, even beyond Macedonia and Achaia. For wherever we go, we find people telling us about your faith in God. We don't need to tell them about it. Here's the second example of a model church. Number two is this. They became a great testimony. Now here's something we need to remember about the model church, or to be a model church. They were a young church, right? This church in Thessalonica was a very young church. Fork Union Baptist Church is celebrating this November its 225th birthday as a church. And so we're an extremely old church, second oldest church in the county where we are serving and where we are planted. But this church in Thessalonica was a young church. Not only were they a new church, they were all kind of new believers, but they were even persecuted. So here's these new Christians, new church members, this new church plant that were being persecuted. And Paul goes on to tell us that they were the model church. They were so committed to the Lord that their testimony spread all over the world. You see, Thessalonica was a place where commercial tradesmen and businessmen and salesmen would visit from all over the place. And this church's excitement and their enthusiasm for Christ was so great and so well known and so just on fire for the Lord that it was talked about everywhere. I talked about it on Sunday, Fork Union Baptist Church. What a lesson for us today. How desperate we need to get back to just the task of simply living for Christ and being a living testimony for him. Think about it for just a second. It's that simple. It's that simple. We don't have to beat people over the heads with the Bible, right? We don't have to argue with those who disagree with us. We don't have to have a title or position in the church to reach the lost. All we have to do is be excited about our own conversion, about our own testimony. So excited that we live for Christ every single day. We should want to share our testimony with every person we meet. It's just that simple. Acts chapter 4, verse 20, it says this, we cannot stop telling about what we have seen and heard. It's that simple. All right, Psalm 66, verse 16, he says this, come and listen, all of you who fear God, and I will tell you what he did for me. What if we just went everywhere we went, that we just said, can I just tell you what God did for me? can I just, or somebody says, well, why are you always down at the church? And why are you going on these mission trips? And why are you always so full of joy, even when troubles come your way? And why are you so not wrapped up in all this other stuff? And whatever, you just say, man, can I just tell you what God is doing in my life and what he's doing in my life? I can't even stop thinking about and telling people everywhere I go of all the things that I've seen and heard that God has done. You see, the model church didn't have a big production on Sunday mornings to win souls for the kingdom, right? They didn't have smoke machines. They didn't have a worship band. They didn't have online ministries. They didn't have any of that stuff. They didn't even have an internet to help them spread the gospel. They didn't have that stuff. All they simply did was they lived for Christ, and they were excited to share what he had done for them. It was that simple, and it spread all over the place. So the church, for the message for the church today, or the Christians today, imagine what God could do with you. Imagine what God would do with me. Imagine what God would do with the church if we would all just totally surrender and actually live for Christ every single day. If each of us were excited to share our testimony with everyone we met, if each of us denied ourselves and actually denied ourselves, don't think about what people think of you, and all that stuff, and you just live for Christ, and you follow Christ. So for the church today, I believe we would have the same reputation. Fork Union Baptist Church or any other church that just kept it this simple would have the same reputation as the Thessalonians did. People all around the world would repent and turn to God, and they would want to hear more about Jesus Christ and what God is doing. And they would, instead of looking at Christians as hypocrites and all these different things, they would see the living testimony. They would hear the testimony, but they would also see it in our life, all because of us being a living testimony for Christ, allowing our lives to be an instrument for God. In Revelation, it says this. It says, we overcome by the blood of the Lamb, right? What Jesus did for us, his blood rained down the cross for us, his sacrifice that he made for us. We overcome by the blood of the Lamb and the word of our testimony. It sounds pretty simple. It's not a whole list of things. We overcome by the blood of the Lamb and the word of our testimony. Isn't it awesome that God has a plan and had a plan from the very beginning to use us as instruments to share our testimony as a part of the redemption plan to win souls for his kingdom? It's just amazing. You see, a model church is one who becomes a testimony for the gospel of Jesus Christ. So I ask you this morning, before we go to the last couple verses, is your life a testimony of the gospel of Jesus Christ? All right. Are you not only willing, but excited to share what Christ has done for you? When people think of you, when they think of me, does it automatically point to what God is doing in my life and can do in their life? Is your life a testimony for the gospel of Jesus Christ? Just had to go over that before we go any further. Look with me at verses 9 and 10 as we continue. 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, verse 9 and 10, it says this. For they keep talking about the wonderful welcome you gave us and how you turned away from idols to serve the living and true God. And they speak of how you are looking forward, to the coming of God's Son from heaven, Jesus, whom God raised from the dead. He is the one who has rescued us from the terrors of the coming judgment. Here we see the third and final point for today, and that's this. Number three, the model church is one of repentance. Now, we know that they were known for being living testimonies for Jesus Christ, but there were three specific things that really stood out to Paul about their testimony. And so before we end today, I'm going to go through those that if you go back in the verses 9 and 10 that we just read, you'll see this. We're going to go through those. So number one is this. The believers, these believers in Thessalonica had turned to God from their idols. All right. So why did I emphasize that? They turned to God from their idols. You see, they didn't try to clean up their lives and then turn to God. They didn't try to reform themselves. They simply made a decision to turn to God while turning their backs on those idols. That's what the Bible calls repenting. So what were these idols that they were turning from? Well, some literally worshiped carved wooden stone and whatever you know, idols and little statues and little false gods that they had made, while others probably were just as guilty as you and I are sometimes of worshiping a god they made up in their mind, Church, we still do this today. And somebody's saying, well, I don't do that. I don't worship about it. I remember, and I'm a pastor of a church, and I'll tell you, I'll be the first to tell you that I remember when I had my own idea of what God was like. I remember making God who I wanted him to be. That way I could continue living for me, right? I could continue living for my sinful nature. I could lay my head down at night and say, well, if God, you know, gave me all of these desires, or God gave me this, or God, or maybe God's okay with this because, you know, I'm a good person. Either way, whether we're worshiping a man-made object, it could be a car, any other possession, it could be your job, it could be a dollar bill, you name it. It could be pride. It could be a false god. You could be somebody who's actually, I've been to countries, especially in India, where there are hundreds, if not thousands, of false gods that they worship there. You can buy them at the local store where you can just go buy this little a little idol off of the shelf and go take it home and go home and worship it. But either way, whether it's just a man-made object or whether we're making God who we want him to be, either way is as much of an idol as the other. Isaiah chapter 55, verse 7 says this, "Let the wicked change their ways and banish the very thought of doing wrong. Let them turn to the Lord that he may have mercy on them." Yes, turn to our God, for he will forgive generously. Sorry. So we're to turn from God, from our idols. So that's the first thing in these last two verses. The second thing is this. The believers lived for God because the believers there, they actually believed the promise that Christ was going to return. All right, now we talk a lot about that, and we might read about it in the Bible, but do we actually believe that Christ is coming back? This model church in Thessalonica believed with all their hearts that Jesus is going to come and return to earth. You see, when Paul says that they were looking forward, right, to the coming of God's Son from heaven, this waiting he's talking about, this looking forward that he's talking about, was in the present tense. Okay, so they weren't just sitting around waiting for Jesus to come and say, well, I know, man, there's so much stuff going on in the world. There's so many bad things going on. I know, but just Jesus, come on back and deliver us and take care of all this. That's not what they were doing. They weren't just sitting back waiting for Jesus to come return and to take all those evil people and take care of them. No, they were living every day for Jesus. They were loving people. They were serving people. They were sharing their testimony. They were serving in the church. They were worshiping the one true God. And they were living every day waiting for the sky to open up and for Christ to return and to find them doing the work that he left them to do. Church, this is how we are to live. You see, I hear people all the time say, Jesus, please return now. With all the stuff going on in Israel and Africa, all the stuff going on in our own country, and it seems like it seems like the world's actually trying harder to defile or maybe to defy God and his design with everything going on, then they are, it would be so much easier just to accept what God designed and what he created for us. But either way, with all the stuff going on in the world, all the child abuse, all the different injustices that go on in the world, I hear people say all the time, oh, Jesus, please just return now. But see, I don't think that's the way a true Christ follower should think. You see, we should expect his return, yes, but our expectation should be what motivates us to be a living testimony for God. So I would say this before we go into the last point. Until I have shared my testimony with every single person that I met or that I meet, I should not be wanting Jesus to return. If I really love God with all my heart and soul and my mind, I love my neighbor as myself, because I shouldn't want anybody to not hear the gospel. Until you share your testimony with everyone you meet, we should not be saying, Jesus, please come back right now. Why? Well, this leads right into the last thing that we see in this passage for today. The last thing that we see in these last two verses in this whole message is the believers had turned to God to escape the coming wrath. All right, now church, the listener that's listening today, we have to understand this. This isn't something that a lot of preachers don't want to preach it. A lot of people don't want to hear it. It's not easy to preach, but it's just as much true as anything else in the Bible. And so, church, we have to understand this. A day of wrath and a day of judgment is coming. This judgment has to come. In fact, you know, it has to come because it has to deal with the sin and the corruption that's taken over in this world. The judgment has to come and deal with man's rebellion against God. Think about it. If there was no judgment coming, why would there need to be a Savior? What would we be actually being saved from? We would be saved from God's wrath and His angry wrath and His judgment and His perfect and His holy and His sovereign judgment that is coming, that the Bible tells us is coming. The world is condemned and a day of wrath. In fact, it's already been set. But that's what makes the glorious news of the gospel so good. All right? So we got to remember that. Because of what Jesus did for us on the cross, what Christ is doing for us right now on the throne pleading for us, we can be delivered from the coming wrath and the judgment of God. And not only will we have peace when the judgment day comes, but we can have peace right now with God, and we can have a relationship with Him, and we can get to know Him, and we can get in His service, and we can have a more fulfilling. Jesus said He came to give us life and life more abundant. John chapter 3. A lot of times we go to verse 16, but I'm going to go to verse 18. It says this, John 3:18 says, "There is no judgment against anyone who believes in Him." Talking about Jesus. It goes on to say this, "But anyone who does not believe in Him has already been judged for not believing in God's one and only Son." John 3:36 says this, "And anyone who believes in God's Son has eternal life. Anyone who doesn't obey the Son will never experience eternal life, but remains under God's angry judgment." You see, Paul told this church that Jesus rescues us. In verses 9 and 10, if you look in there, that's what he said. I think it was in verse 10. He said, Jesus rescues us. So my question for you today as we close is this. Have you been rescued from the coming wrath of God's judgment? Just that simple. All right, so let's go back through the three main points that we talked about, okay? You've heard the gospel today. That was number one. All right, to the best of my ability, I have tried to keep it simple as I can, and I've done my best to preach the gospel as it should be preached. Number two, you've heard today, if you've listened to this, that we all should be a living testimony for what Christ did for us and is doing in us and for us right now. Every day we go out, we should be a living testimony for what Christ has done in our life and what He's doing in our life. And number three, you've heard today that we must repent, turn from our idols, and turn to God. So as I close today, I want to go back to that first question that I asked us this morning. Do you have a testimony of a time when you made that decision to accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior? Do you have that time that you know you truly received the gospel? You heard it preached the way it was supposed to be preached, and you received it the way it was supposed to be received. That moment when you believed that and you gave your life and you said, I'm turning from all this stuff. I'm turning from my pride. I'm turning from my regret and my shame or whatever, my addictions or whatever else it is. And I'm going to follow Jesus. See, everyone's story and their testimony is different, but every believer has to have a conversion testimony. It's so simple to be the model church. We just have to have a strong conversion. Let's pray. Father, Lord, I thank You for Your word again today, and I pray for those who were able to listen to this. The second time that I've kind of gone through it, I've probably left stuff out. I've probably added stuff that I didn't preach on Sunday. But Lord, I know You've got a reason for that. And so, Lord, I just thank You for another opportunity again. And I pray for those who are listening directly right now, Lord, that You would take this and that You would use Your word, which we know You do. Use Your spirit. Use me and the message that You've laid on my heart and the way that it jumped out at me and in my study time as an instrument to impact someone else, that they may have a strong testimony of what Jesus did for them today. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Well, thank you for joining in. And I just want to remind you that God has given you the gift of being forgiven and to escape the wrath and to have a relationship with Him. It's just as simple as saying, praying by yourself. You can reach out to me or some other pastor and they'll be glad to pray with you, but you can reach out to him right now and just say, God, I am ready today to have that testimony to say on this day, when I was listening in my car, or when I was, drinking my coffee in the morning, or when I was getting ready to go to bed at night, and for whatever reason I clicked on this sermon that was 4 days late or 3 days late. Today I decide that I'm ready to walk away from everything else, and I'm ready to follow you and accept the gift of salvation through Jesus Christ. If that's what you decided today, praise the Lord, because the Bible says the angels are rejoicing in heaven today. So I'm not going to preach another sermon, but I thank you again for joining in. And if there's anything that we can do for you, you can reach out to us at 434-842-3390, or you can reach out to us at churchoffice@forkunionbaptist.org. Thank you, and God bless.
Hello, my name is Anthony Clore, and I'm honored to be the pastor here at Fork Union Baptist Church. I hope you were blessed by the message today, and I want to encourage you with this. God is always willing and always waiting, and always wants to do great things in our lives when we simply read the Bible and hear biblical preaching and teaching. But we must allow what we hear to be applied to our lives. So if you feel God tugging at your heart or speaking to you today, I want to encourage you to stop whatever you're doing right now and respond to Him personally. And if you would like to let us know what God is doing in your life through this podcast ministry, we would be so blessed if you would reach out to us by email at churchoffice@forkunionbaptist.org. Again, that's churchoffice@forkunionbaptist.org. You can also try us at our office at 434-842-3390. Again, thank you for listening, and we hope that someday you will join us in person. We meet each Sunday at 11 a.m. Take care, and God bless.